Welcome to Voices in Art, where we at Marshfield TV talk with artists from around the South Shore about their work, career, and life as an artist. In this episode, you'll hear me have an exciting, if not electrifying, conversation with pastel artist Donna Rossetti Bailey. We discuss Donna's long and varied career as a teacher, and we talk about the expressive power of pastel. We also discuss different styles and how they can affect the tone of a painting. This conversation really goes everywhere, so sit back and enjoy this uplifting talk with painter Donna Rossetti Bailey.
I think I was in the seventh grade and I decided I wanted to be an art teacher. And so that's kind of just sort of the route I went, and I just assumed that was going to be the way it was going to be. So I ended up going to Boston University and the School of Fine Arts, and then I got a job teaching in Rockland, and I taught junior high for 4 years. That's how long ago it was, junior high. And then I taught high school for 19 years there. And I think I always thought of myself more as a teacher than an artist. I mean, I could teach art, but it was more about the kids and more about helping kids get through those tough years, you know? Yeah. And art is such a great, release for kids. And the kids in Rockland, our rooms were always like safe places for them to come. Yeah. So the kids would eat lunch in our room and come, and they felt safe and they felt like they belonged. So for all those years when I was teaching, if I got one piece of artwork done myself, I would be lucky. And because, you know, all your work, all your creativity, all my creativity used to get realized through the kids,
yep.
You know? And And we used to have an art show every year that was like this big art showcase like Marshfield does.
Yep.
It was beautiful. Showed off all the work, and the art department brought nothing but good stuff to the town of Rockland. And we always then decided, well, we should have a teacher exhibit too. And every one of us, there were seven or eight of us at the time, were scrambling to get one piece done
so that
we could hang it. Because one of our sayings was, it was something about teaching,
right,
that you have to excel at teaching if you expect your kids to do well.
Right.
And we always had high expectations of the kids, and we had a great department. So, Rockland, I was there for 23 years. Our kids were winning Scholastic Art Awards,
cool,
going to great art schools, Parsons and Pratt and Columbus College of Art and Design and Boston University and, you know, great, great schools. And as a matter of fact, this is a cool, when I used to teach the portfolio class, and one of the people that used to come to Rockland to recruit kids to Parsons School of Design was Tim Gunn.
Okay, yeah.
And who
That's
does
so well.
Project
yeah,
Runway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I used to, you know, I would call him up and say, hey, Tim, it's Donna from Rockland, you know, and he'd say, okay, I'm coming now, I'll be here. So it was, so I knew him before he
Everything,
did his other
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
As time went on, the department head was leaving, and I had been out, I had a little medical thing, and I was then my, they thought I would be then the department head because it would make sense. I was the next person in line and had been there the longest. And I was teaching part time because our daughter was small. So I just thought, you know what? I don't know if I can take on that job, still teach part time and do all this. So anyways, I ended up taking a leave of absence from there. And I, while I was on a leave, it was unpaid leave from school. I just had like a sabbatical. And I started teaching at North River Arts and Duxbury Art Association and South Shore Art Center. And I started teaching adults. And all this time I was kind of tutoring high school kids too. But so this was like a whole other thing. I was like, wow, this is really kind of fun. And there was none of the paperwork and the MCAS and the rubrics and all of that stuff. So I did that for a couple of years. And then we decided, you know what? I'm not going to go back to public school. I was done with public, and things were changing, and the amount of paperwork, and it was just, I just felt like it was, we were being asked to do some things that would take us out of the classroom.
Right.
And our job, I felt like my job was in the trenches with the kids, you know, we can teach you how to draw, we can teach you how to be creative, we can teach you about colors. And not everybody is talented, but everybody can learn the steps. Yeah. You know, it's like changing the oil in your car. If somebody shows you how to do it, you know, okay, and you do it enough times, you get it. So, so now, fast forward, I have been teaching adults. Let me see, I graduated in 1974, so this would be 44 years. I've been teaching adults for the last 20-something years.
Yeah.
And when I took that leave, I started doing a little bit of artwork because I had a little more time. And so then that's kind of how my art started to be put down on paper. Because everything I had been doing in my head, I was realizing through the kids, you know, any good projects that came up, or how we were going to teach this concept, or how are we going to have them move from something representational into something a little more abstract, talk about design and shapes and forms. And I do distinctly remember the kids, for parent conferences. You know, because all the, you know, everybody would love to come to the art department because it was always good news about their kid, you know?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And parents would come in and say, oh my God, my kid wants to go to art school. What are they going to do? You know? And I used to just say, wait a minute. Think about everything you use, everything you wear, every item in your house has been touched by an artist
right.
in some way. You know, whether it's, you know, the color of your cell phone case or your car or your the blender or your clothes or everything. So don't, you know, try not to let that get in the way of letting your kid realize their dream.
Right.
You know, because everybody's different.
And
you know, and everybody deserves the right to follow that. And everybody deserves the right to fall on their face.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, because.
And that's how we all learn.
Yeah.
So now teaching adults, I get a little bit of that sort of same kind of thing because now, you know, they've all come from different careers.
Yeah.
I have social workers. I have an FBI investigator. I have got like ex-teachers. It's so cool.
It's like reversed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when I see, and my students in school, when they would win awards, it would be like, that is like the greatest compliment for any teacher to have their kids excel. And I still feel that way with my adult students because they're all winning national awards.
Wow.
It's so cool.
That's awesome.
It's so cool. And in fact, a lot of my pastel students, most, they're all my friends now. So on Mondays, we'll have like 7 or 8 of us in here, friends, just all painting together. And then we help critique one another. And then we have lunch and we solve all the problems in the world.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that.
It's great.
I love that,
It's so great. And I teach pastel, which is colored chalk to make it real simply. But it's actually pure pigment in a stick. And everybody gets the pastel addiction. Everybody that starts it and says, oh, these colors are gorgeous. So like, you know, that's like the tip of the iceberg of colors over there. And it's different than working with watercolor oil paint because, you know, with those you have like 8 tubes of paint and you mix on a palette and then you paint onto whatever your surface or you print or whatever. And with pastel, it's layering of colors and you mix on the page. So you layer one layer on top of another and your surface needs some kind of grit to it for the pastel to hold on to. So it's gotten to be kind of comical because I'll come in and say to class and go, oh my God, have you guys seen this new set? There's this new set from, and everybody crowds around. And it's like, oh,
So you have a set, don't you?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
I read this online.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool. How did that come about?
There is a big national convention, international now convention. It's called the International Association of Pastel Societies. And they have a big trade show there. And I had the opportunity to go to this starting like in early, I want to say it was 2001. And when we were there, we met this great this great guy, his name is Terry Ludwig, and he had just started a pastel company. He had been painting in pastel for a while and making his own pastels, and his friends were asking him because of all the sets that were out at that time, like 20 years ago, there weren't enough darks. You could never get a really good dark. So
he really biked.
Oops, shoot. He started manufacturing colors like this.
Super dark purple, really, right there.
Yes, yeah. And beautiful, beautiful, beautiful dark. And his pastels were.
So just for the listeners, we're looking at a really dark purple square piece of pastel chalk.
Yeah, it's pigment and binder mixed in, and it's a square. It's a rectangle, actually. So it's great because you can, you know, use it on its side.
But
that's also
almost black.
Yeah. You can use it on its edge. Yeah. And
so right now we're going over different like techniques, different ways you can hold the chalk.
Just
the
way you can hold it.
Yeah, and this pigment that we're looking at is really dark.
Yeah, isn't it?
Considering that it's chalk.
Yep. And it's called eggplant.
Oh yeah, that's
and
awesome.
That's totally the name of the color.
And if you were looking at this right now, especially, it's definitely an eggplant. It's a very dark, dark, near black purple.
Now let me see if I have just a sheet here. Now if you see it on.
So what we're looking at now is
gonna be
rubbing some into something with a blue and purple background, kind of giving it like.
So it looks a little bit different because the color of the surface is different. Yeah. And like if this went on top of this, again, that could be a little different.
So this is now it's going over like brown.
Yep.
And you can see a bit of brown coming through the background. The pastel's nice. It has like a cloud. Way of obscuring what it goes, a cloud-like way of obscuring what it goes in front of.
You can make hard edges or you can make soft edges.
Okay.
So depending upon, what you're painting, and I don't do a lot of blending where you actually take the pastel and rub it into the surface. I don't do a lot of that because you can, by doing that, it's a good thing to know how to do and it's a good thing to use in certain places. I use it on skies. And I use it on water. So for instance, on that particular second one in, there was a lot of blending that went on in the water where the painting to the right, it's much more energetic mark making in it. Because it was a different feel.
In the paintings that we're looking at, the first one that we were mentioning, it's got like an autumn setting over the marsh. And you can see in it that the water and the sky even look compared to all of the grass and trees, you can really see all the marks, like where the pastel landed. But in the water and in the sky, you can feel the way it was blended behind it a little bit. There's like a gradient from a darker blue to a baby blue before it sinks behind the tree line.
Right.
And then you have the same gradient, but in reverse to reflect the sky in the water. It looks beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And then again, so just for the listeners, in the second one that you described, you can see in the water and in the sky, you can see the marks where the chalk landed and it isn't blended. And now I just have to ask, did you bring that up because you see so many people the first time they get pastel in their hands, they start blending.
Yes.
Right. I mean, it's like immediately they go for it.
Yeah.
But you lose that texture that you can only get from pastel.
Right. And you lose, what happens is pastels being pure pigment with the binder, they're little crystals. And when you blend them, you kind of crush the pigment or crush the crystals. And it's good for if you want like an under layer. If you have a piece of white paper, because a lot of times on white paper, people go, oh God, you know, it's like you get the panic, you know, it's like when they put that blood pressure cuff on you and you're freaking out.
You're supposed to get a good reading.
Yeah,
no, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So sometimes we'll do what we call an underpainting underneath. But if you have a sheet of white paper, sometimes we'll do what we call a dry underpainting just to get the surface kind of covered a little bit. And then it's a little easier to work on top of that because now you're not necessarily just working off the white and colors respond to one another too. So everything that you put down is going to affect everything else that's down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes blending is good. I try not to do it a whole lot. I like a little more mark making, but it also depends upon what you want to say. In your piece. So this painting way over on the left side is a much more serene, calm piece. So I don't have nearly as much mark making in it. I wanted the viewer to sense that sense of calm as opposed to the sense of like riotous autumn color all over the place.
I might get right in because I'm totally wrong here, but I hope I'm not. It's kind of like the Bauhaus idea.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you're painting, you can get your message across in how you paint it sort of thing. Right.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It is. And it's so exciting when, you know, sometimes you get your paintings just like bang, they're there on the page. And this painting, I've been struggling with this particular painting for 4 years.
So what we're looking at is it's got dark purples, light pinks, some blues. It's a scene over, it looks like a pond.
Yes. It's actually the Cranberry Bog down on South River
Street.
That's
right. So the Cranberry Bog right across the street from my house. But it's when it's full. It's when the Cranberry Bog is full.
The Cranberry's full.
So
yeah. And this is the...
Two or four, did you say?
Four.
4 years. That's the photo, your reference
that's
photo.
That's what I'm
So the reference
from.
Photo is much more blue than the painting. The painting, sorry to the photographer, I like the painting.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this was a pretty bad photograph I took.
Oh, you took it, okay.
I took it, that's okay,
It's all good. Dissing you and complimenting you simultaneously. Then I have to ask, so why is it, you're setting that, why is this taking you 4 years today?
You know, I keep going back and forth because I've changed, you know, from my image that I started with, it's just taken on this whole other thing, even color-wise. And this being my reference was very sort of foggy and gray and all. And I've made this more with light, more like either a sunset or a sunrise.
Rise, yeah.
And so I've been kind of going back and forth with the reflections in the water. And, you know, I'd take it out, I'd do some. At one point it was bigger and I cut it.
Oh, wow.
You know, so yeah, like there's a lot of creative cropping that goes on.
But you can only take that away.
Yeah. But this one now I have the frame ready to go right here. So it's like, I need to finish this because it's got to get entered into a
one
show.
1 to 100%, how done is this?
I would say I probably have maybe another 20% to go.
And that's just... pastel or is that
pastel and so now it's kind of like what happens after you've been painting for a while is you do this dance with your piece, you know, it's like, okay, what is it you're trying to tell me, what do you need here, and there's a lot of back and forth, and this is the hardest part of the painting, you know, is to finish up and make those final marks.
Well, you can, because you're letting go.
Yeah.
And it's really hard.
Yeah, it's like,
four years.
Especially for this.
Four years.
But then other paintings, like, bang, they're on the page.
Yeah.
You know, so you just...
And you're satisfied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you think, wow. Okay, I guess I better stop.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
And the joke...
Before we ruin it. Yeah.
And that's the joke with all pastel. Well, most artists, it's like you need somebody to say, stop, go for a walk, or, you know, go get a cup of tea. And don't do any more until you come back. So the critique part becomes really important as artists progress. And you're able to have that communication with others. Like, what do you think? So when, like, all the girls come over on Mondays, you know, we'll kind of go through and say, okay, what do you think? And, you know, they'll say, don't touch the sky, leave the sky. Or, no, you know, you got, watch out, you got like a straight line going across there, you know, take a look at it. And, and because... Just having that other pair of eyes.
Oh, yeah.
You know how it is. You know, it's...
You
look at something and when you're not invested in it, it's way easier to be objective.
Right.
And say, oh, well, you know, that's right in the middle of the page. Is that where you really want it?
Right. It's almost like... So I totally know what you're saying. When you're not invested in it, you see it as it is.
Yes.
When you've done it yourself, the parts you spent so much time on become inflated. The things that there are parts you've ignored and they become deflated in the literal way that you see it. Not necessarily in their size, but in their importance and when it hits your brain.
Like
your brain's got it burned in there. Someone who hasn't is seeing it like, oh, wow, how did you miss this? And
then
you see it and it's something that you literally couldn't see before. Yeah, it's really cool to get that.
Because you're so, you know, you're so involved with the piece.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, they're kind of like kids. You know?
That's what I mean, it's like letting go.
Yeah, it's like letting go, it really is. Yeah. And it's been so much fun. It has been so much fun. And now with my good friends, Liz Hayward Sullivan and Peggy Bruno, we've been going out Thursday mornings. Well, we've been out twice to paint. Yesterday we were at Rexham Beach at 7 okay. o'clock.
Oh, nice.
You know, so we were painting there, and none of us painted the beach. We yeah. all painted the, you know, we were all in the back painting the dune houses and stuff.
So you just pointed to a painting. Is that what you painted the
other
day?
That's what I painted yesterday.
So in this painting, what we're looking at is like at Rexham Beach, looking across the dunes at the houses in Humrock?
Those are the houses actually in Rexham. So
if you come
into the Rexham parking lot, if you go to the left-hand side, like going over towards the river,
yep.
If you walk down that path,
yeah.
it's right there.
Okay, yep.
So the river was off to the right. And mm-hmm. and those houses, they look like they're in the dunes, but they're really on whatever that street
Ridge
is.
Ridge Road?
One of those streets.
I think that's what it is. Don't quote me, Marshfield.
Yeah. But then, you know, like, so we were outside and it was really bright. I didn't have my umbrella, but so I know my darks are too dark. So I need to go back and I'll deal with that. And then that particular one over there, this was a couple weeks ago down at Scituate Harbor. The sun was just coming up. So the one that's kind of the vertical one that's leaning over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and the one we're looking at right now, it's cool because you can see outside of the border of where it was painted, but there's these marks coming out.
Yeah.
Or do you call it, is it painting? What do you?
Painting.
Okay.
Yeah, we call it painting.
And it's interesting because what would have just been lines in the sky, they gain more like character to them with the way that these marks like swoop out of the page a little bit. I guess you'd have to see it to know what I'm talking about. But these are beautiful. So where we are right now is we're sitting in a room full of Donna's art, and it's, it's beautiful.
It really, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's completely surrounding us. And it really runs the gamut, although there's definitely a theme, mostly landscapes. Mostly calm, wide landscapes, lots mm-hmm. of marsh. But there's also snow on fields. There's the side of an adobe home?
A
beautiful,
yes,
beautiful adobe home. I mean, that's beautiful. That stands out of everything you have here. I mean, everything's beautiful, but that's just
the ones over here?
Yeah.
This was in Castellina in Italy.
Okay, yeah.
And the one above it too, and then I've got a few more Italy ones upstairs. And since we went to Italy, we've also had the opportunity to travel, do a Mediterranean cruise, and I have a gazillion images from that I want to paint of like Santorini and all, and they're still they're percolating.
Those are the photographs you've taken.
The photographs I've taken.
That's
yeah.
really nice.
Yeah, I always work for my own photographs.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't, and that's really important too, because you know why you took that photograph, and so like yesterday when we were painting. You know, it was like you get the photo when you first start because then you're chasing the light, you know. So it was like an hour and a half and I was like, oh, it's stopped now because now the shadows are changing.
Yeah,
everything's changing. Right. So you always take your photo and make some color notes, you know, like pay attention. Is that warm or is that cool? You know, what is it? And being on location is so huge. You just see so much more. Like this day, when we were down at Scituate Harbor a couple weeks ago, it was overcast when we got there. And the tide was out, so I was trying to get this color of the reflection of the light on the mud flats.
Yeah, the low mud
tide. And it was kind of like, I kept saying, what color is it? And it was like this bluish gray because there wasn't a whole lot of light in the sky. And then all of a sudden, the sun sort of peeked through the clouds, and then the entire mud flat changed from cool, kind of a cool blue, to like a warm, almost like yellowy reflection.
Oh,
and it was like, oh my gosh, wait a minute, everything
I
just
get
changed.
That.
Yeah. And so at that point it's like, you know, either stop and start a new piece or if you're going to chase the light, everything's going to change from what you just did.
Right.
So on location, I tend to do, you know, studies, mm-hmm. Small studies to capture whatever the light or the, usually it has to do with the light
mm-hmm.
of, you know, what is it that attracts
the
you
color
to that? Yeah. The color, the warmth, the, whether it's warm or cool light, whether it's weather,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of weather going on. Because some, you know, like on this particular one, the clouds in the sky, these clouds are sort of puffy and sort of moving, and there's some motion to that. Whereas if you wanted to depict something a little bit more serene, then the edges could be softer.
Right.
And also, it's so important to be on location, as you know, because your eyes can only focus on one area at a time.
Right.
And so when you see paintings that have the same clarity everywhere, the same attention to detail for edges, the same kind of edges everywhere, you could usually you say, oh, I bet that was done from a photo.
Right.
You know, you can recognize that. Whereas if you've been outside, you understand that when something is out of your range of focus or your eyesight, right. your eye range, then it's out of focus.
Right, right.
And so in order to create a successful in and out three-dimensional thing on a two-dimensional surface, that's one of the things that you employ to be able to create that sense of space.
It reminds me of Van Gogh.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
You can see the movement. You can see the space. You can, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Here, I've got questions. I want to ask you.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
They're going to give me a second pull. Sorry. I just have a question about, I want to jump back to the very first thing you said.
Oh, okay.
You said that from very early on, you knew you wanted to teach art.
Mm-hmm.
When? How?
I want to say it was either the fifth, sixth, seventh grade. It was right in there. And we were working with crepa. Do you know what crepa is? It's like waxy crayons. They call it oil pastel.
Okay, yes, I know what that is.
And you can thin it actually with turpentine, which you could never use when you were in school with the kids. But we were doing something in crepa, and I remember it was, I don't know, some cat of nine tail or something. And I drew a dark line and I couldn't get rid of it. And I remember thinking, you know what? To learn how to be an art teacher so that I can figure out how to fix that, because I didn't like that it left this dark thing on my page. And, I was scraping it off. It was part of the thing is to learn the medium, you know? So I think that was kind of where it began. Plus, I really liked art, and I felt like my brain understood it. Because it has a lot to do with emotions, and I'm kind of, everything's out in the open. There's no, and I'm never good at math.
Right.
So, and I distinctly remember being in the seventh grade, and my Mr. Lindquist, my math teacher, he was teaching us the new math at that time. Now, I was in the seventh grade, however, a gazillion years ago. And I remember thinking, I have no idea what you are talking about. And that was it. It's like, nope. So even now we laugh about all the artists. It's like as soon as numbers come in to the equation, all of us are like, I don't know, get my phone. Yeah. Get the calculator. Oh, yeah. I don't know how to do that in my head. You know, where my husband, who's a CPA, he can do it in his head.
Right.
So I think that was it. And then I was kind of like, I was into music too. Okay. I played the oboe for years and years. And then I was thinking about going into music. And then I was thinking about being a phys ed teacher, but I always came back to the art thing. So I was lucky enough to go to Boston University, which is a great school. I grew up on the North Shore, and I commuted to school and with my big portfolio. But I got a great education there. Yeah. And how lucky am I?
Yeah.
In my other house, I had just a little teeny tiny studio. I mean, literally, it was like this big. So I was like, falling over myself. And and now I have a separate room to do all my framing in, and I have a dry mount press. I mean, it's like my friends who come here actually bought the dry mount press for me, for having them here all the time. So if people need to mount a paper onto a rigid surface, I have the piece of equipment that can do that.
And it's dry mount?
It's called dry mounting, and it is to put, it's to adhere paper to a rigid surface.
Oh, okay, so, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Do you use glue?
There's a special adhesive, and it's heat activated. This particular one.
All right.
There's a couple of different products. There's a perfect mount product that you peel the paper back, and it's foam core, and you can put the paper down. But it's always nice to have a something that's sturdy, because it's easy to frame and everything else.
Keep it around longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then another question.
Yeah.
So when you transitioned, so you said at one point in your career, you transitioned from teaching children to adults.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a huge difference. I mean, it's two different ballgames, I'd imagine. I've never done it. But So what for you, like, what was a big difference you saw? What was something you learned when that all changed? Like, stuff like that. Like, maybe, what was that experience like?
It was so cool because, first of all, there was no discipline problems, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody's talking while you're talking. Nobody's asking to go to the bathroom. Nobody's, you know, it was...
They all paid their own money to get there.
Yeah. And they were all like, oh, my gosh. And I think one of the first classes I taught was... drawing for people who think they can't draw a straight line.
Oh, I could take that.
it was really fun. And it was all adults who were like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I don't know how to do this. It's like, well, why would you know how to do this if you hadn't been taught how to do this?
Right.
And so I used to try to make things very simple. And it's just a whole different thing because as adults, like I said, there's none of the discipline stuff, but it's also like they're so excited when they get something that looks like something. Where, you know, sometimes the kids would get it and sometimes they'd be like, yeah. You know, I want to know if Johnny's going to call me later on.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Because their heads are in different places.
Yep.
So the adults come to the table and they're all coming from wherever they've been. And they come and it's like, oh, this is great. This is art class. I love this.
Yeah. It's something they're doing for themselves,
on focus. Yes, yeah. Yes. And they're making the effort to be there. It's not like they're in school and they have to do this.
So you have that weight off your shoulders when you do that.
And there's none of the paperwork, although I do still keep a plan book. And I take photographs of, when I was teaching in Rockland, I take photographs of the kids' work so they could see what their first step was, their second step. And it's so cool because the kids used to love to go back and go, oh, yeah, that's where I started on that. So that became a great resource for the kids. And then the kids would come in and say, oh, have you got the pictures in the book yet? Can I see it?
Yeah.
And so my adults do the same.
Ooh. It's okay. We're getting a phone call.
Don't do the same thing. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry about it.
Off. Okay. Okay. hopefully that's not gonna. I've lost my train of thought. Well, the adults get real excited too.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking that I might kind of step back from teaching because it's been, I don't know, 44, 45 years. And I was saying to my groups, I said, you know, I don't know what else I can teach you. I think I've given you everything I know. But as I was saying earlier, just to digress back to that critique thing, it's not so much even about instruction of how to put pastel on paper because a lot of my students have been with me for like 15 years.
Right.
You know, now it's about critique. Now it's about where do you want to take your art? What do you want to say with it? And everybody's different. It's and that's what I love because in math, one and one is two. But in art, my one and your one are different.
Art proves one and one is not
exactly.
Two.
Not exactly. So you know, yeah. My one and one are going to be totally different from your one and one.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
And so it's so awesome because it's all validated. And whether or not you come out with a great painting doesn't matter. A lot of it is about now playing and having fun and seeing where it takes you. And I must say, I am so grateful to have the time to be able to do this. I'm so glad I worked so hard all those years.
Yeah.
So now I have a little bit more time to come into my studio and just play and say, okay, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And my friends, too. What are we going to do? And then, okay, what do you think about doing this? Or... you know, hey, how about if you do a series of those and maybe change your color palette or, you know,
It sounds to me like your students graduated into becoming your peers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like yes.
Completely.
Yes.
And now
yes.
You are just peer artists critiquing each other's
exactly.
Work. Exactly. And that's awesome. That's
it
so
is.
Cool.
It's so awesome.
It's like a dream come true.
It is a dream come true. And for an instructor, teacher to have... to see their students excel is like just like the greatest thing because it's like you've planted all these little seeds and now they're just growing in it. And I love it because now I'm just kind of like fading off into the sunset.
Well, but also, I mean, one of them, I mean, it probably felt weird, but also really cool the first time one of your students came up and said, hey, are you sure about that?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like pointing at one of your pieces.
Oh, some, yeah. You know, and it's like, I want it too. It's like, you guys, what do you think? You know, what do you think about this?
We're all artists here.
We're like, all artists. Everybody's struggling.
And you all do pastel.
And it's, but it is, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Because the pastel community, especially here on the South Shore and down in the Cape, there's a pastel society that all of us belong to. And in New Hampshire, all the pastel artists are so nice and so supportive of one another. There's very few egos running around. So everybody's willing to help. Or if, you know, a couple of us get into a show that's at any kind of distance, you know, somebody will take the work and somebody else will pick it up. So we carpool stuff. You know, it's just a really, really nice community.
I want to get involved with this network.
It
sounds like you guys are helping each other be successful.
We are. Yeah. I mean, it's so great. And you know, now we've all become friends.
Yeah.
And like we have one of my students, she isn't actually not a student of mine anymore. She's a friend. She's a spiritualist minister and a medium.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And so it's so cool when, you know, you get all this great energy going in the room and people are so positive. And sometimes it's like there's not enough room for everybody to come on Mondays because people, we all like to come and be together and laugh and joke and
big sardines down here.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. Yeah. And one of my former students who's now a friend, she just found out that her artwork is going to be on exhibit at Mass General Hospital in the cancer unit.
Oh, wow.
One of the cancer wards. And so for a year, her artwork is going to hang there. And she's a former social worker. And that was one of her goals. She was like, I would love it if my artwork could bring some kind of sense of peace to people that are having, you know, going through hard times.
Yeah.
So she just found out about that, which is like, oh my God, that is so awesome.
And what does she do?
She's a landscape artist. She only paints trees.
Oh, okay.
And in the beginning.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Her name is Maureen Spinelli.
Okay.
And you can look up her website. I mean, she's amazing. I mean, they're all amazing.
I'm going to look up another question.
Yeah.
I just want to.
Yeah,
we've been going for a while, but this is a great conversation. I don't mind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's. Great. So you've told me, like, it was just a couple more questions.
Okay, sure.
You've told me about this really jam-packed career that you've had as an artist. I mean, going in all different fields of the industry, really. What are you working on? Like now that you're saying you're like trying to pull back from teaching, what's your current project or your next project that's kind of going to do that?
You know, I'm thinking, one of my thoughts was to look at some old paintings, and I have a bunch hanging upstairs, and to repaint every one of those. And just, you know, look at that painting, remember where it was, what you did, you know, where, some of the images of the scenes that I took look so different now because some of those paintings I did 20 years ago. So the landscape has grown, like that little field on Clay Pit Road across from LJ Kennels. That used to be this really low grassy field with a few small trees in it. And I did probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 paintings of that area. Now, it's like you don't even recognize it as that same place. So I have I started thinking about doing this project of revisiting paintings that I had done years ago. I have one from the end of Peregrine Right. I have a hard time saying that word.
Peregrine White Drive.
Yes.
it's a hard one.
From the end there, looking across to the Wrexham Dunes. And I was down there.
You used to be able to see to the Wrexham Dunes.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
When?
Yeah.
How
so
long
it
ago?
Was like, it was probably the late 90s.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. That's
because,
surprising.
Yeah. I left, I took a leave of public school in 1997.
Okay.
So it was right around that time because that's when I started painting a little bit on my own. And so then I thought, wow, but that's going to be really interesting because they're really different. And another place is over in Scituate on the Driftway, where the Driftway Park is, the McConville Park there. Mm-hmm. And there used to be 2 cedar trees that were on a spit of land just right out there. And that was like this iconic place that artists used to go to paint these. Well, a few years ago in one of those storms, those trees got wiped out.
Okay.
So then the joke became amongst the artists, it's like, you know what, we're going to have to like get out there and like replant those trees. So, yeah. But again, so that place has changed because of, you know, weather and different events. So,
and do you want to paint them as they are now, is what you're saying?
I don't know. I'm thinking, yeah, I should really paint them as they are now. But it was kind of like, you know what, but I kind of liked what was going on back then.
Yeah.
And it does. And that's the thing about being an artist is like, you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter if there was a house there or there was a rake leaning up against the building. If you don't want to put it in, you don't have to. So it's the time you get, you know, God gives you total permission to be creator, And that's what's really fun when after you paint it for a while, because then it's like, oh, wait a minute, this thing, like this one, this has taken on a different life from this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so let this painting tell you what it means.
Sorry, just for the people know, yeah. We were talking about the one earlier that we were talking about that Donna's been working on for 4 years. And yeah, just so everybody knows. Yeah.
That's the one we're talking about. And so as you become, the longer you paint, the more intuitive it becomes. And then it becomes a dance. It's like you have to listen to it. What is it telling you? You know, be sensitive to what's going on there and go with it. You know, if you don't like it, you can always brush it off and start all over again. And that's the other thing about pastel is that it is so forgiving. If you don't like what, like I said, if you don't like what's going on, you brush it off, you use an eraser, you pull it up, and you get back to the paper again and you start over. Mm-hmm. So there's been many a times, actually I pulled the front of this off several times. I've brushed that front, the watery part on that piece. And that's okay. You know, it's like, oh, well.
Didn't work.
It didn't work. Yeah. What are you going to do? It's not the end of the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's all about having fun. Mm-hmm. And so to be in this place right now, in this studio, thank you, and is so exciting and so energizing to have this and to have this wonderful community of artists and friends and, you know, students who I still hear from Rockland High School, you know, that get in touch. And it's like, wow, this is how lucky. How fortunate, you know? So it's all good. All good. So come visit my studio.
So my next thing I was going to say was, where can people go to see your work? Is it hanging anywhere? Is it your books published that people
can get their hands on? I was in a couple of books somewhere along the line. And right now I have a couple pieces hanging at North River Arts.
Oh, cool.
It's up until Sunday, which people probably be too late. But and I was lucky enough to get two pieces into that show. And it being a juried show, when you enter a juried show, you never know whether you're going to get in. I mean, it's just, and you have to have a thick skin. And, you know, at first you take it personally when it happens. And then after a while you go, oh, well, that's okay. I'll have it for another show.
Well, because they jury for a style.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, that wasn't.
It's not what the judges are looking for.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't mean you're bad.
No, not at all. And I've been a juror, too, on the other end. So I understand, you know, kind of how it goes, too. And it's just, I had one juror say to me, Robert Douglas Hunter, who is a very well-known painter from the Boston School, and he has since, he's since passed on. But I remember he was judging at North River, and he said to me, if I had had a second cup of coffee, I might have voted differently.
Oh.
If it had been sunny and not raining today, I might have voted differently. If I saw that show, if all those pieces came in front of me again, because they used to do it in person where they would literally walk with the paintings for each judge to view and they would do it right there. If I saw that show again, I might vote differently. Mm-hmm. It's so subjective and it's kind of like what hits you in the moment.
It's art, yeah.
And you always want to be thinking about, you know, design and composition and what makes a good painting and what is it about that piece that draws you in.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find a painting that speaks to you, it's like, buy it. Just get it because it will haunt you forever.
I love that.
And it's, it's such a joy to know that your painting has found a new home in somebody's house. Like somebody liked it enough to want to buy it and have it in their home. It's like, wow,
yeah.
Isn't that nice?
That's so cool.
Thank you.
That's so cool. That's great.
You know,
and so you have a website, right?
I have a website. I must say I'm really bad about keeping up with it. It's paperwork. And I'm not good about posting stuff on Facebook. Although somebody posted a picture, because I had won an award at North River. Somebody posted that. And I've heard from all kinds of people. It's so nice. Like a lot of my former Rockland students and adult students that I haven't seen for a while. So
they just like Googled your name.
Yeah,
and found
I guess.
I mean, you can find it. It's at DonnaRossetti-Bailey.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's correct. And it's Rossetti. It should be pronounced Rossetti, but when, you know, early on when the first generation was here, they Americanized the pronunciation.
Yeah, I was going to say, other people decide what you get called.
Yes, yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's got Americanized to like Rossetti, but it's really spelled Rossetti.
Rossetti, okay.
But anyways, so I apologize in advance. My website is a little out of date.
But you can see lots of beautiful art there.
But you can see
there.
It. You can
and
see it.
Well, there's like, I mean, there's dozens of like, digital images of your paintings up
yes,
there.
Yes, yeah.
And stuff like that.
So. Yeah, so yeah, I'm all over. And plus I've been kicking around forever. So, so most of the other artwork is here. I have some work up in a gallery in New Hampshire, but the majority of my work is here, and some is stacked in the back, oldest
yeah.
stuff.
So it goes, yeah.
Yeah, you know. So now I'm literally, sometimes I'll just take work out of frames if it's been shown around, and, you know, it's like, okay, I need that frame. Let me take that out, and I have a new piece going in there. And I do a lot of my own framing. And if I can't do it, I work with the Frame Center over in Hanover.
Save yourself money and, you know, like make money framing other
people's stuff. Yeah. So it's all good. And so people, if they're interested, they can call here and come and see if they're interested in that. Or come join us. I think you should come paint with us.
That sounds like fun. I need to take your course. Art for people who don't think that they can draw a straight line.
Yeah.
Not even kidding. I'm more in the digital world.
Yeah, but good for you. You know,
that's
I'm so not.
I do video. That's I do video, awesome. Totally. Oh, I mean, I envy what you do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Grass is greener.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, we've been going for a while here. Okay. Thank you so much
you
for talking
so
to me.
You are so welcome.
Seriously,
thank you.
And I should thank Patrice for getting us in touch with each other. Yeah, seriously. If there's another time you want to have another conversation about something else, I don't know. Maybe there's another part of your life I don't know anything about.
Yeah, okay.
We can get together and have another podcast.
Sounds great.
Is there anything else you wanted to say by the end of it? I don't know. Just giving you the opportunity.
No, I'm so glad. Thank you. It's nice to be able to tell people what you do and who you are. And also to express what great joy you can find in this. And I really believe that being happy is a choice. You know, I really and truly believe that. And it's taken me a long time to get to that point, but now that I'm old, I can say it. You know, I think, you know, the number of years you live, it's like, wow, I'm starting to see circles being closed, you know, which is so awesome. And actually the award that I won at North River, this was a beautiful circle that came full circle. I was fortunate to win the D.D. Pierce Memorial Award for Landscape. And D.D. Pierce was one of the instrumental people in North River Arts when it first started and a great supporter of the arts. She had a beautiful home down on Bartlett's Island Way, right at the very end. So she always invited me to bring my classes to her house to paint. Mm-hmm. So we've painted several times at her house. And then Dee Dee had left that house and moved, and then unfortunately she's passed away since then. And to have gotten the phone call that I won her award was like such a circle. It was like, oh my God, that is so cool, because I used to take all of my groups to her house, and I was friends with her, and to be honored in that way, it was like, wow, thanks, Dee Dee. Yeah. I don't know if you have anything to do with that or not, but, you know.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
It's really nice. I know.
You've told me multiple things now that are just completely heartwarming and tear jerking. So. All right.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. You are so welcome. Awesome.
Cool.